to The Fulfilled Accountant, the podcast that teaches you how to actually enjoy your work as an accounting or finance professional and have a life. Learn the tools to live with less stress and feel fulfilled, happy, and valuable, while also creating the success you desire in your career. If you're finished playing the game by outdated rules, you're in the right place. I'm your host, former accountant and multi-passionate entrepreneur turned life coach, Sarah Nemacek. Time management is one of those topics where every human probably has room for improvement. And there's so many nuances to which parts of time management in particular might be where you struggle or get frustrated. It's kind of hard to know where to start sometimes. One of the things I hear over and over from accountants in particular is that there is never enough time. That seems to be playing through accountants' heads on repeat. You want to get all the things done, and you want to feel like a successful, skilled professional who always achieves and follows through for your clients and your team. But you also would love to have a life, see your family, sleep, and maybe even work out sometimes. And who can blame you? Those seem like pretty good things to have in your life. Usually when I talk about time management, I like to focus on your relationship with time, the way you perceive what's available, and where you're getting in your own way as you go through the day. But today, I thought it would be fun to go through a list of some of the most surprising ways that you might actually be wasting time, things that you wouldn't even notice or think about. Most of us know about obvious issues like being distracted by too many emails or scrolling social media or taking too many breaks, things like that. But what about things like not getting enough sleep? I bet you never even considered that as a time management issue. So let's jump right in and go through seven of the top time wasters that I see happening in accountants' lives. And yes, obviously, a lot of these happen to other people too, but we're focusing on accountants today. So one thing you might be doing is over-scheduling. This is something I think accountants and most high achievers in general tend to be super guilty of. A lot of times it comes from thinking it looks good to have a lot on your calendar. If you're busy and your schedule is packed, you probably are pretty important. Or when you go and do your calendaring or your scheduling, you're like, yep, it's technically possible to cram all this stuff into one day. I should be able to do all of this. So you put it on there. But in reality, it never seems to play out that way. And the problem with overscheduling is that you tend to just feel really crappy about yourself when you don't actually get to all the things that you put on your schedule for each day. And when I say overscheduling, it could look like having more meetings than you actually can get to, having more work than you can actually get done, having a to-do list that says, I'm going to accomplish these 30 things today instead of these three things. Because let's face it, if you were like, today I'm going to get these three things done, how does that feel at the beginning of the day? You're like, oh my gosh, if I can only do three things, what an easy day. But then you go through the day and you get those three things done? A lot of times, no, because of the overscheduling issue. So how does overscheduling get into your day in the first place? Like I said, some of it's just from I want to feel important and I think I should be able to do it all. But some of it comes from not being able to say no to things that don't make sense in your day because you don't want to disappoint someone or feel rude, or you just actually don't even know how to say no. So one thing you can do is learn to say no gracefully, and you want to be able to say yes when you mean yes and no when you mean no. Another thing to learn is that when you say no to someone, you are probably not actually going to shatter their whole world. Even though that might be kind of a blow to the ego, it is extremely freeing to realize, oh, the world does not revolve around me. People are going to live if I don't respond to them or give them what they want in like 10 minutes within them asking me. They can wait until tomorrow or next week or whenever it makes sense. I just need to keep them informed of when I plan to get back to them and letting them know that I am paying attention to them, even if you aren't actually doing the work just yet. And the other thing about overscheduling is when you think that you have to solve things for other people all the time. This especially happens when you manage a team. You think they need you to solve all their problems for them. But if you limit access to yourself or tell them they can only ask you questions at certain times a day or that you will only respond to questions at certain times a day, you actually help them build their own skills and get smarter. So it's really a win for everyone. And another thing about overscheduling. So I said about, you know, you want to put 30 things on the list and you should be able to get them done. Think about this. Let's say that you have an 8-hour day. And if you actually went through and said, here's how long each task that I put on my list for today should take, you realize that you've probably scheduled at least 12 hours worth of work. Do you work extra to get the 12 hours in? Do you find that you're able to actually get the stuff done in less time? Did you allow for things that aren't on that list? Like, you probably put a lot of very productive sounding things on your list of what you scheduled for the day. But where did you schedule in things like time for reading, writing, and responding to emails? Do you have time on there for updating your timesheet, for going to lunch or eating lunch at your desk, but you still have to walk to the kitchen and warm something up and bring it back probably? How about going to the bathroom? And I say that because I've actually heard from several women that they put off going to the bathroom during the day so they can fit more work in, which is horrible for your health and just so uncomfortable. Don't be that person. What about time for answering questions from your team, clearing review comments, leaving review comments, reviewing things? What about conversations with clients or random calls from clients? What about travel time to and from clients when you have to actually be on site somewhere? And even those brain breaks where you just need to let your brain rest between activities. Most of us don't think to schedule those types of things in. And that's why we should be able to get more done, but we end up every day wondering why we aren't getting it done. So I think it's really important to notice that overscheduling can be a problem for a lot of us. The next thing that I think might surprise you as a time waster is neglecting yourself. The first thing to go when I'm too busy is me. I will just give up these things like sleeping, going out, being around people I want to see, things like that. But it really doesn't help anyone. It actually makes things worse for you and everyone around you in the long run. And the number one thing that I think we neglect is probably sleep. But here's the thing. Brains do not work well when they are tired. Most people do need 7 hours of sleep per night. So if you aren't getting that sleep, you're setting yourself up for an even less productive day the next day. And if you do this all week long, you have like a cumulative effect of less productive, less efficient, less focused work as the week goes by. I definitely remember several instances where I would work late at night trying to figure out a problem, and I would just either not get there, finally give up after 2 or 3 hours of fiddling with it, or I would think I got the solution, finally go home, come back in the morning, and then either like, oh, light bulb moment, it comes back and it like makes sense within 5 minutes of opening up the screen. Or I find out everything I did was wrong and I wasted like 2 hours just screwing around with it while I was super tired. Point being, go home, get that sleep and solve it in the morning, because your brain will be so much fresher and so much more capable of actually figuring things out. So the stuff you're doing past a certain point, if it's cutting into your sleep, is really not helping anyone. And even if you aren't worried about being at a slower work pace, when you get depleted and you aren't giving yourself time to sleep and eat and take care of yourself, you get sick, you get depleted, you come in grumpy, you yell at people, you're unpleasant to be around, your brain really does get slower, you forget things, and maybe this one speaks to you more, you might actually even start dropping the ball and screwing things up. And that's probably the last thing you want. So know that ignoring yourself, cutting out sleeping, not taking care of yourself will eventually lead to burnout. It reduces your job satisfaction. You don't need to take care of yourself by taking a 3-week vacation in the middle of busy season or having weekly extravagant spa days. That is not at all what I'm talking about. I really mean get some sleep, drink your water, eat some food that's good for you, move around during the day, and advocate for yourself even when you're busy. Okay, this next one you've probably heard in some form before, but I think it's really helpful to hear it in the context of time management. And it's when you give everything priority, nothing has any priority. Like, if everything's a priority, how do you know what to work on first? How do you make decisions? You don't. So if this is you, the easiest thing you can do to start fixing this is to identify 3 non-negotiable things that you will do each day. It's not like 3 things every day are the same. It's each day. What are the 3 things that I have to get done today? What are my actual priorities? And sometimes it helps to take a step back and look at the bigger picture, like which clients are due when, who's available when, like kind of look at the bigger picture of what you have to work with and fit it into that. Great. Like, you don't have to just pull these out of the air and hope that they're the right ones. You can have a system to it. But if you start with 3 things, it really gives your brain something to focus on. And if you can't handle only having 3 things on your list, give yourself the 3 big ones And then say, okay, if I get those done, what are the next three priorities? But don't let yourself do the second three until you get those first three done. And you can even keep a list of, these are things that I just kind of have to fit in, because inevitably, those three things that you put on your day, there's going to be reasons that you need to pause, like you're working on this big project, and then you realize, oh yeah, I need to get this, this, and this from the client before I can move forward at this point, and I need this response from a partner, and I need my staff to clear these points, and I need to go research this particular issue. Great. You know that. And while you're waiting for responses, you can either go do your research or you can pick up some of those smaller task things and knock them out in the waiting period. But don't let yourself do the other things instead of your non-negotiables if you are able to actually get to those non-negotiables. Okay. The next thing, the fourth thing. And this one, I'm sure you also have heard, because it's one of those where I'm like, yeah, I know, it makes sense. But when I read the research on this, it really got my attention and I felt that I needed to share this. The notifications on your phone or computer, turn them off. It takes your brain 23 minutes to get fully back on track after each interruption. That is a ton of wasted time. Just think about that. Think how simple and how often you pause because you're like, this feels a little hard. I'm going to turn over here and I'm going to look at my phone real quick and see if I got any emails. Or I'm just going to like take a quick break and look on social media. And your brain's like, okay, now where was I? What am I doing? It takes that 23 minutes just to fully get back engaged in whatever project you're working on. So try to limit how often you check email. Maybe you try closing your door, turn off your email, put a sign on the door that's like, yes, I know you can see me in here, but do not come in. I'm in focus mode. Whatever it takes to help you train your brain not to have those constant distractions throughout the day. Okay, the fifth thing is ignoring your natural energy ups and downs throughout the day. I'm definitely guilty of this one. I like to think I should be able to work hard all day long. It doesn't matter if somebody wants to meet at 5, great. If they want to meet at 7, great. I can handle that. But honestly, that is not exactly where my greatest focus and energy is. It's not even throughout the day. I tend to have a real lull at around 10 a.m. every day. A lot of my clients tell me that around 2 p.m., they're checked out. They either want to stop working, they don't want to deal with people, or they just want to focus and do easy tasks, something like that. Know these things, learn them about yourself, and then actually use them as much as you possibly can. I know there will always be reasons why you have to go to a client meeting at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, or why you can't have that break in the morning where you do something easy. But the less you have to do it, and the more you plan around what you know are your natural strengths and weaknesses throughout the day, the easier it will be to get your work done, to stay focused, and to not feel like crap as you go through it. Okay, number 6, don't try to do it all by yourself. I know you work in teams if you're in, say, public accounting for sure, but there are also a lot of times and even actual circumstances where working alone is probably mostly what's available to you. Totally fine, but also try to figure out why you're doing all the things all by yourself. There's always something that you can seek help on. You can ask questions. You can ask people to help out. You can get input, whatever. Do reach out and get that help. Don't think that by doing it by yourself, you are showing someone that you're more capable or you're not an imposter or whatever is going through your mind. Successful people seek out help. They know when it's appropriate and they know, or they at least they figure out who are the people that can help them. And the other thing is ask for help at home too. This is not just for at work. A lot of times, we're probably more stressed at work because we're thinking about home. Like, how much time do you spend thinking, oh, what am I going to cook for dinner when I get home? Do we have the ingredients for that? Do I need to stop at the store? When am I supposed to pick up the kids? Wait, oh, is so like, who's picking them up today? Like, all that stuff is also running through your brain. And when you're trying to do that by yourself and manage that for other people, even if you're like, well, my partner helps out with that, you know, my spouse, whoever, you're still probably managing it in your mind and telling them what to do. Maybe you can ask them to just take over a task. For example, there was about a year where I told my husband, listen, I hate thinking about food. I spend so much of my day thinking about what groceries do we need? What are we going to eat tonight? What's for lunch? Do we have this available? Do we need to pack a lunch? Like all the little stupid things about food. I was like, you're going to take this over. You're really good at cooking. Why don't you not only do the cooking, but do the thinking and the planning and the buying of the things as well? You can just tell me if you need me to go pick something up, but I'm done thinking about it. It was amazing what I could get done, not spending my brain power in the middle of the day thinking about that stuff anymore. So if you find yourself getting distracted by doing everything by yourself, just think of all the different ways where you could enlist help. And the last time waster that I see really impacting accountants and really anybody who loves achieving and showing off or being good at things is kind of a three-part thing. It's perfectionism, people-pleasing, and procrastination. Now, I get it. Perfectionism sounds like it's something great, right? People-pleasing, I know we're told it's bad, but we're like, but it's good to help people. And procrastination, most of us think, yeah, that is a bad thing. But we aren't even aware of exactly when or why we're doing it. And they all kind of feed off each other, honestly. So here's how you combat that. One, start realizing that done is better than perfect. So many times we want things to be just right. We don't want to look stupid. We want to look good. So we actually, because of our perfectionism, procrastinate like hell. Imperfect action is better than sitting on things, hoping that you'll figure it out and not getting it done. If you need to, ask questions to keep you moving. When you're stuck in perfectionism, you go into procrastination mode. And then you start missing deadlines, or you have all these panicked last-minute work sessions. So give yourself different levels of perfection or done. Some stuff, yeah, you need it to be A-level work. You set aside time, you recognize which ones those are, and you tell yourself, here's how I know if I've done A-level work. Kind of give yourself actual parameters to help you know that you've done it, so you don't just keep going. But then there's a lot of things that probably can be amazing at a B-minus level. Identify what those are and go with it. As far as people-pleasing, we kind of talked about that with the overscheduling, but it's one of the P's, and it does tie in with perfectionism as well. Like, you don't want to tell someone no because you want to look good. You want to look like you're capable, like you're an expert, and like you're a team player. Great. But recognize when you're doing it for that reason, like in a negative way where it doesn't serve you or them, and when you're doing it because you're like, yeah, I can figure this out. I have time in my schedule, and it makes sense with what else I've already committed to doing, what are other obligations you have. And finally, in general, just know that no one expects you to know everything or to get all things right all the time. I know there's not a lot of room for certain types of errors in accounting and financial work. However, that is why we have a review process. That is why we educate people. That is why we get more than one person involved on things. It's so that you have backups. You have people to bounce ideas off of. You have ways of making sure that you aren't putting out subpar work and of finding the answers that you need when you need it, instead of just sitting on it, hoping that it comes to you. I hope walking through these time wasters today helped you identify some things that might help you this week and every day, honestly. If you found several things that you want to work on, remember, it almost never works to try to change or fix all the things all at once. It's that whole too many priorities means there's no priorities and no focus thing that we just talked about. So take it one goal and one day at a time. And in a few months, you will not even recognize yourself in the way that you move through each day. You've got this. Have a great week. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to come back for more each week to keep your brain operating at its highest level so you can enjoy your accounting and finance career while also having a life you love. Want even more tips on living a life you love while feeling less stressed and more fulfilled in your accounting and finance work? Get on my email list where I share new perspectives every week. Seriously, I think you'll enjoy these emails. Sign up at the link in the show notes or by visiting my website at sarahnemecek.com.